to the skies very high.
Hello and welcome to Talking PPG Radio. My name is Will Jones. The following information is not for training, but personal experiences and reflections on the world of power paragliding as I know. All guests of Talking PPG Radio have formed their own ideas, thoughts, and opinions on the world of power paragliding. They are not necessarily the thoughts or opinions of Talking PPG Radio. You may agree or disagree to what you hear. Talking PPG Radio is here to get conversations, thoughts, ideas about the world of power paragliding. Safety first. I highly recommend a qualified instructor. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoy.
Hey, welcome back, Will Jones, Talking PPG Radio. Well, by the look of the downloads and the movement there about the last episode, a lot of you guys out there really wanted to know more about wings. So, and let me go ahead and thank Michelle Danielle for sending the Wing Tips DVD and also Understanding Your Wing Inspection DVDs. I got a chance to go over both of them. I tell you what, we just kind of skimmed the surface on some of the stuff we talked about. So you definitely got to, you know, especially you new guys that don't know, you know, what should I do? How to take care of my wings and maybe some of the stuff that you really need to know when it comes to not only, you know, you learn how to handle your wing, but you need to learn how to take care of that wing so it'll last you a long time. You know, those things are not cheap. So, you know, I learned a lot. So, and you guys that have wings that should I get it inspected, not sure, you definitely got to check out that Understanding Your Wing Inspections. So, and it's well worth it. A great addition to your DVD or your material library information on PPG. So, all right. And we will talk again. I will definitely give Michelle a call again. And I tell you what, if you have any questions, comments, you can get in touch with me. And if you'd like for me to ask her, you know, something maybe I didn't ask her, or just, you know, curiosity, something that she always wondered that we didn't go over, or you can get in touch with her. I'm sure she'd be more than happy to talk to you about it. So, so anyway, let's move on. I'll tell you what I got for you today. Several months ago, I found a very cool website, mbppg.com, and MB means Mike Bennett. Mike Bennett PPG, it's Mike's PPG site is what he calls it. PPG Projects. He's got a blog, and he actually even has a Pikes Peak PPG direct link on his homepage. But you got to go check out mbppg.com. What caught my eye is like the project page. I should be playing the MacGyver theme song right now to make this a part of the MacGyver minutes. Mike has a lot of projects that, well, the coolest one, the comm helmet, the PDA deal, just a lot of projects. And what's so cool about it is how he documents everything. And you can go and see pictures, and he walks you through it. If it's something that you think about, you want to do, it is really, really cool. So, and I wanted to get in touch with him and talk to him about his cool website. So we just sit down and chit chat, and that's what you're about to hear. Mike Bennett, PPG.com. Thanks for listening. Hey guys, Will Jones, Talking PPG Radio. Well, in my search for information on the web and looking for cool things, I come across a very cool website, mbppg.com. And the person that actually, the MB stands for Mike Bennett, he is actually one of the local pilots out of the Pikes Peak Power Paragliding Club. And his website's really cool, and it's one of those things you guys have definitely got to go check out, because it's got a lot of great information as far as some of the projects and some media. He's got a cool blog where he's kind of just been, you know, putting his flights and talking about what he's been doing in PPG. And Mike, welcome to Talking PPG Radio, man.
Oh, thank you, Will. I appreciate having me on.
Oh man, my pleasure. Like I was saying there, man, I stumbled onto your website. I don't even know how
I don't, maybe it was when I went to Pikes Peak Power Paragliding Club. For some reason, I don't think I got to it that way, but a very cool website, a lot of great information and stuff, and I thought people would like to check it out. So man, I'll start off and give us some information about yourself, how long you've been flying, and go from there. So.
Okay. Well, I've been flying for just a little over a year. I was actually instructed by Don Jordan. You had him on a few shows ago.
Yes. Yes.
He actually, I bought my equipment used from him after I did a lot of research on the web, phone calls to people and stuff like that. He just seemed to fit with my style. I'm kind of a fast learner and stuff, but, you know, he seemed to have the experience. He had the used equipment that I was looking for.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. Which was a Fresh Breeze, mm-hmm. Simonini 122, and basically what we kind of did this long distance. It was kind of a long distance relationship for a bit. He sent me the wing first, and I kited for about 2 months with taking video and sending pictures back to him, so he could kind of correct me there. And I kind of got to learn the wing somewhat on my own, but I still had some guidance and direction. And then we planned for a few days for him to come out. He actually had family here in Colorado, so he wanted to come visit them, and we just made it to where he would come out here, and we did several days of training, and he got me up in the air. So that's kind of where it started.
Where did you first see this at? Now, were you like most people? You've been looking at it for 2 years, and like myself, it was like years ago, and I was like, man, that's cool. I never did have the time, but then had the time and the money.
Well, it's kind of an interesting story. My previous hobby was high powered model rocketry, I was a level 3. That's the highest certification. So I was flying motors in the M, N, and O range.
Motors
that are, you know, 4, 5, 6 inches in diameter, and 3 or 4 or 5 feet long. So, you know, 3,000 pounds of thrust, that kind of stuff. Pretty big motors.
Yeah.
And a lot of these rockets have electronics in them, tracking devices like GPS. We have flight computers in them that can give us telemetry data and stuff like that. So some of these rockets are, you know, well over between $2,000 and $10,000. And a lot of times they get lost, like we'll lose a signal, a battery will become disconnected and stuff like that. And we have a couple of guys that fly fixed wing in the rocket club. But, you know, they're technically supposed to stay above 500 feet.
Right,
about the slowest they can fly is, you know, around 50 to 70 miles an hour. And I was thinking of a way, how can I fly around low to the ground or high up and look for some of these lost rockets? And I started doing research. This was probably about a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw somebody doing, you know, just paragliding.
Right.
And thought, wow, that would be kind of cool. And then I found out, hey, there's people that fly around with motors on their back, and you don't need a mountain to fly off of. And I said that would be perfect for finding lost rockets, and that's actually how I got started in this.
Oh wow, wow! Yeah, I talked to you earlier, man. That's amazing, that high power rocketry stuff. I've seen magazines and stuff, on them, and it's like that's amazing. You said you guys didn't quite get to space. I talked to you one time before. What was your highest?
I did work on a project with several people that we made it up about 55 miles, and 62 miles is actual space. But, you know, that was close enough for us. But, it was a really good project. We recovered all of the vehicle, the launch vehicle, it was out at Black Rock Dry Lake Bed out in the out by California in Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
And there's 400 square miles of just flat, you know, dry lake bed to fly out on. And,
That's amazing.
Yeah, I'd like to take my PPG out there one of these years too. Just kind of putts around.
That is too cool, man. Too cool. Well, all right, man. I ran into Mike's website, which is Mike's PPG site, and the projects are just amazing. Some of the stuff that he's accomplished, I guess, is the word to say. And it's like I had talked to him a little bit about some of the things. Like he's got a helmet cam mount. The cool thing was his communication helmet and the It's funny because I've done something too, but I've wanted to YouTube it, or it's basically what I've done. But Mike actually goes on and it's scripted out. And he has pictures. How did you get into doing that, man? A lot of information that a lot of guys would love to check out.
Sure. It kind of spilled over from rocketry. When I got into rocketry in the beginning, you can buy high powered kits, but I chose to scratch build mine. And because of that, I always tried to do some kind of project page where I listed out the materials and the tools.
Mm-hmm.
So then instead of going out and buying a $500 or $600 kit, you can go to your Home Depot, get some parts, you know, use Sonotube or whatever. Instead of buying these parts that are real expensive because they have rocketry stamp behind them, you can buy them real cheap, you know, not a tenth of the price. And so I started doing these kind of projects, yeah. And you know, just wanting to list out exactly the steps I took and you know, how I did things. And I tried to, each rocket, I tried to do something different and new, some kind of new technique,
yeah.
How I made a certain thing. And that's, you know, I just kind of carried that over into PPG. So just to put the information out there to show people that it's real easy to build
this. Really? Yes. Yes.
And not cost a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
yeah. Like the communications helmet, you know, it's a skateboard helmet, which a lot of guys use.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought the earmuffs. It was an actual radio set from Pelter that normally cost, I think, $308. I think is what it retails for, and I bought it off eBay for $35.
Yeah, wow.
And,
yeah, research.
So,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and I just think of it as that I'm frugal. I don't try to be cheap.
Okay.
I like to make things with my hands,
yeah.
So that's another thing.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. That's the same here. And I ended up making my own communication helmet too, and it was like, you know what, I should be able to make my own where I have plenty of protection and be able to talk to somebody and not have to spend $300-something. And I'm like you, I love to tinker and figure out how to do something if I could do it, you know, and
right.
And that's what I noticed on your website and stuff. Are you a electronic engineer or something? Because I know you have a schematic and you're talking about you guys do GPS and all these different, you know, things and stuff. Are you an electronic engineer of some type, or is that what you do?
I have schooling for it. I'm not an actual double E, but I have designed circuit boards and stuff like that for rocketry. And we actually started selling those boards. We did production runs.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And they were nice flight computers. They had four channels and stuff like that. They would measure acceleration, barometric pressure, altitude. They would have four pyro channels and stuff like that, as well as you could hook them in to another board that would give us live telemetry downlinks, so we could actually watch the specifications on the rocket as it was ascending and descending.
Wow.
And I'm actually looking at doing something similar for my current system. One of the projects with my communications helmet was building a box to where I could have a breakout box of to be able to plug in like an MP3 player, an external microphone, like a throat microphone if your other one bugged out, or if you wanted to do it that way because there's no noise associated with that, you know, and then a cell phone, and then, of course, the radio itself. And so what I'm looking at doing now, I started actually doing research on chips to build an amplified circuit to where, you know, some of the family radios and some of the ICOM radios, the volume on them, when you have all the circuitry, it's just not loud enough with the engine noise, even with the muffs. And so I was going to amplify it with a volume control and then also put an interrupt circuit so that, like, if you happen to be listening to an MP3 player and somebody came over the radio, it would actually cut the MP3 player out. You could do your conversation, and then within 20 seconds of silence, it would actually come back and start playing your music again. So
that's amazing, dude.
Yeah.
That's wild. That's too cool. That would be, and be able to do it on like the cheap, or able to do it yourself is what you're going for.
I'm going to try to do the board for about $20.
Okay. Yeah.
And you know, I haven't really looked at pricing it out. You know, for production runs, but I'm trying to do it real cheap, and so that people could easily just buy it and maybe do it as a kit, or buy and put it together, just do a little soldering, or maybe even a full blown box. You know, but It just depends, because a lot of the cell phones these days, like the iPhone and stuff, has almost all that built in.
Built into it.
GPS,
yeah.
So it's, but with the radios for the aircraft, you know, you still, those are still separate. So it, I think it's still useful. I think there's still a small market for it. So I may do a small board run and see what happens.
See what happens. Yeah, I'm sure there'd be people interested in it. Yeah, I'm sitting there going, yeah, okay. send me one. I'll take. Well, yeah, that would be really cool, man. That, like I said, man, I love your website. That is, like I said, it is, it's a, to be able to go and see the pictures, the step-by-step pictures, and to be able to read some of the problems or, you know, fixes. And that's the wild thing, guys, out there. Take your time, research, call somebody, just don't assume that you can send it off and somebody will fix it for you. Some of the stuff that you do, you can actually do yourself. And like me, I mean, I'm not, you know, a rich man by, you know, by no means. And if I could do it myself, that's what I try to do. And I can tell that that's what you do, Mike. You, and it may be a love of tinkering, I guess, too. You got to have a love of tinkering, so.
Yeah, I have a background in automotive technology. And so, like, I was a master GM technician for a while. So I do like to play with motors. It's funny because at work I actually have a couple of pictures of the Simonini, like CAD drawing on my wall there.
Do you really?
Yeah, the side view and the front view, and I'm already looking at it like, how can I redesign that?
That's great.
So, you know, it's one of those things where you're always thinking, okay, more power, smaller package,
right.
More power, less weight, you know.
Yeah.
And so I do, yeah, I do like to play with things, and I try to help the guys out locally here. We have a couple of great guys too, John Black.
I've talked to him a lot.
Local instructors and you know how he runs the Beach Blast. Well, he's also one of our suppliers as well, and he does work for people as well. So, you know, we got a couple of great guys here in Colorado that do that. But I just help out people that you know, need it, and of course, yeah, I like to show people how to do it for themselves.
For themselves, right?
Yeah.
Well, I see you. Are you okay? Just I'll go over one of the projects here. You the Skybolt. Are you still doing that project? Or are you?
I am.
Yeah.
That's kind of been just a project along the side. I really wanted to do it because when I first got the Fresh Breeze, the prop had been used and the prop had been damaged already, and then I had a bad takeoff, which I have a video in there. It was at one of the rocket launches.
Several
people. It was one of those newbie things. I probably only had like 10 flights, and I just quit running before and picked up my feet and just didn't have the airspeed.
So
kind of came down, took out a little bit of a cage piece, and had to redo the prop. So that's one of the projects in there was actually repairing the prop. It just one of those things where I wanted to redo that, and I just put everything together, and you know, I didn't want to send the prop off because I knew what it would, charge. But anyway, the Skybolt project was kind of a winter project, and since I have a machine that's already flying and stuff, I've just been taking my time on it.
Right.
But the difference is that I have made several modifications to this build just because it's for the Fresh Breeze version of the Simonini.
Yes.
The original plans are for the Black Devil engine, and so. You know, it's with the Fresh Breeze because of the way they have the exhaust and everything. The Black Devil is approximately 10 to 10.5 inches wide, where the Fresh Breeze is 14 because of the hub sticks out. The prop, you know, makes the prop stick out further to clear the exhaust. It's 14.5 inches, and so I had to change all the radial bends on the radial arms. I kept the hoop size the same, but you know, I had to make the tubes longer and put a little bit tighter bends on them and extend it out. Build special motor brackets and stuff like that. So I've just been taking my time.
Right now,
the biggest thing I've been having, what I've been thinking about doing or how I want to do it is the netting. The angle is so much different than the original one. It's kind of like a fold instead of an angle. And so it's just hard to get it the way I want it.
Yeah. I don't know if you. Phil, I can't think of his last name, out of, he's part of the Indy Air Hogs. He did one. You doing the V2 or the V1?
The V2.
You're doing a V2. Okay, he did a V1, and he put a Simonini 122 on it, and he actually had to redo the brackets. He has the comfort bars where he had modified. I was looking at yours. I was like, man, that looks like feels wow. Or and I don't know if there's a difference. Well, there is a big difference because they use square tubing rather than round tubing on the V2, so, or compared to V1. So, but yeah,
correct. Yeah, it's a little bit different because like the angles, I have slightly different angles of that diagonal square tube for the bottom brace and stuff. And yeah, so that changed the angle of the comfort bar coming up. And so, yeah, I've got all that worked out. But, yeah, I did look at several pictures before.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I love the V1. I think that's a beautiful
machine, yeah.
Just absolutely gorgeous design. I love the tubing. And you know, I've talked to a few people about getting those plants because, you know, up until Jeff going repurchased those, you know, he still only has the V2.
Yeah,
the V1 plants are still, you know, they're still in limbo as far as where they're at. And I've got a couple of guys that have them that actually built them, so that I may, you know, buy them from them and then build a V1 as well. I just, again, it's one of those do something with your hands.
Doing
work and stuff
like that. Understand. Yeah. Supposed to talk to Brandon a lot of he's going to come on and we're going to talk about the V1 and V2, the building of them and tools and things like that, so hopefully soon.
Right, yeah. I've conversed with Brandon several times via email, you know, through the Yahoo groups and even a couple of personal emails.
Mm-hmm.
On you know, various aspects, mostly the netting recently.
The netting, really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, he's a great resource because he's obviously built a couple of them, and that's the thing. Is I'm doing a little bit different. You know, when you talked to me the other day, I told you that I had a lathe, and I used to make my own rocket motors. And propellant and stuff. Well, that lathe, you know, turned a lot of aluminum, so I had a lot of experience. So I actually made my own connector kit.
Oh, sweet.
Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that,
yeah.
That was another cost reduction.
Exactly. Well, especially the V1, man. It's like, whoa, that's a, you know, just was the connector was like the connections and stuff were like $500. It's like, wow.
That was a big chunk of the actual build for that.
Yeah.
And yeah, there was just so many machine pieces. But that's the thing, is I can actually machine those pieces.
Yeah, that's
myself,
sweet.
So yeah, that really helps out.
Yeah. Well, cool, man. I guess that's why I was just real quick, guys, I was just looking down a list here on his website, and so I was wondering, like, he made a aluminum prop balancer. It's like, so now I understand how. Okay, have a lathe and stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I'm making a few of them for some of the local guys in down in Pikes Peak. I actually live in Denver, so I have to drive down to fly with those guys.
Oh, do you? Okay.
Yeah, they actually took me in, kind of a continuation of my flying training and stuff. I had a lot of guys down there that helped me out with the rest of instruction, and you know, I think it's just a little over a year, I'm up to 100 flights.
Excellent, so, man. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's with the active weather here in Colorado. I mean, there's a lot of days that we can't fly.
Can't fly.
It's so windy and unpredictable. You know, and I know you talked to Joe a little bit about
Valley. Yes.
Yeah, so I fly with him all the time. Because we're actually both in the Denver area, so we fly together quite a bit.
Okay.
And so we try to, he goes out a lot more. Unfortunately, during the week, I work so early, and then when I come home, I gotta be with the kids and mom.
Right, same here.
Yeah,
I understand that totally.
Yeah, he gets to fly a little bit more than I do. Yeah. It's getting there. My kids are getting older, and so I might be able to start doing that here in the next couple of years.
And you got a serious lathe. That's the first time I just clicked on the prop balancer. That's a serious lathe you got there. Wow.
Yeah, it's a 1947 Atlas 10-inch lathe that I bought off eBay for, I think, $700. And I should put up pictures of it from when I actually got it. It hit inside a shop, but it had a bunch of rust on it, but there was no paint on it. And it was just, so I basically tore the whole thing down, cleaned it up, machined off some parts that needed to be remachined, and then also painted it, put it back together, lubed it up, and it looked beautiful at one time, but it gets a lot of use, so it's starting to show wear and tear again.
Are you
to put that up?
You thinking about maybe selling your prop balancers?
I could. I know Don Jordan had a big run of them made, and I'm trying not to step on anybody. I know that John Fetz also sells them as well.
No, oh, does he?
I just kind of,
okay.
You know, I'll do it for the local guys and just give it to them and stuff like that. I mean, if somebody asked me outright, hey, will you make me one? Sure, I'll make you one.
Okay, all right.
If I can get, you know, a few bucks for each one, then I can buy some materials to do my own anodizing, and then I can anodize them as well. But
oh, sweet.
Yeah, right now they're not for sale to the public.
Okay, all right, just wondering.
But,
that's just...
Yeah, no, like I said, if you ask me outright, then, you know, I'll certainly make you one, but... Yeah.
Okay.
I'd rather those guys get the money because they actually put the real effort into it.
Oh, well, that's really cool of you, man. Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm going to ask you about your video, and I went down, I talked to you a little bit about, you said this is your next kind of endeavor or getting into is video, and I think there's a lot of us out there are video and stuff, and I was reading some of the problems you were having with the camera, and it's like, wow, the one thing I was just in reading some of your stuff is like the research that you do to get in to accomplish something is amazing. I mean, it's like, wow. I mean, you really get in depth.
That's what the internet's for, and you know, that's the purpose of my webpage is to give out that same information that maybe somebody might find or something like that, or maybe, you know, they just, oh, that interests me and it helps out. But yeah, that's my big thing right now is video. I took a lot of pictures, and I still do, but there's some times where you have to do active flying, and you just can't hold the camera and take pictures. So
right.
I figured, well, if I put a camera on the helmet, you know, do the helmet cam thing, that's, you know, obviously where the project of the camera mount came from. I'm starting to learn video, and so I did some research on some cameras. I didn't want to quite go HD yet because the price of the cameras were still pretty high.
That's why I've been
waiting.
For
the style that I was looking for.
Yeah, that's why I've been waiting. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So I wanted a flash-based camera. I didn't want to have to deal with any DVDs or hard drives, a mechanical thing that, you know, and the flash drive cameras tend to be a lot lighter. The one that I did purchase, the Samsung SC-SX20, it didn't get the greatest reviews, but it does. If you get the there's like the EL version, which has 16 gig on board, and then you can also put in another like 30, I think another either 16 or 32 gig flash card too, the SD flash card.
Wow.
You know, even with the onboard 16, it's 6.5 hours of video, and the battery on it, because again, it's a flash driven versus, you know, some kind of
tape or hard drive,
it lasts, the battery lasts for 4 hours.
Wow.
And so basically, you can just turn it on, hit record, and just let it go while you fly pretty much the whole day.
Oh, wow. You know, I never thought about that. Because all the cameras, it's DV drive, or it's not a flash-based drive. You're right. The battery's like, man, when did it stop, you know?
Yeah,
I never thought about
exactly.
That.
Half hour to, you're lucky if you get 2 hours at the moment.
Yeah.
And I actually have run this for 3.5 hours, and it ran just fine. So there are, there are other flash-based cameras out there that do the same thing. But this was one of the better ones for the actual battery life, which is why I picked it. And but I did have to overcome some problems with the camera. There were some video quality issues and stuff like that. That I found a little bit of research, and then I've figured out a lot just by trial and error. And I, you know, try to put that out in the page. And I'm still learning.
Still
as we go on. I'm no expert by any means.
Now, you Mac or PC, Windows guy?
All of the above, Linux, Mac, and PC.
Do you really? Okay. What software are you using to edit your stuff?
Currently, right now, for encoding, I'm using AvidMux, which is available for all three. It is open source software, free, and it has a lot of features. That I use that to resize the video to the actual 16:9 that this camera shoots in, but doesn't seem to render when you play back. It was another Samsung issue where they forgot to set the 16:9 flag in the metadata.
Did they really? Oh my gosh.
It was a bad mess up. But there are ways around it. You just resize it, and it makes everybody go from tall and skinny to the regular size.
Regular size. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So then you can also take out the interlace lines with the interlace, and I've been messing with some stuff to keep the video quality high, but yet keep the size of the file low. So, and I'm getting better at it. And once I figure out the actual settings for it, then I will post those and say, this is, you know, set this here, mm-hmm. this will give you the best quality. And that goes for pretty much any camera, you know, based on the MP4 format, so,
yeah. Yeah.
which is what this shoots in. And then after I get it encoded into the right size and stuff, then I go and edit it. And I will use either Kden Live, which is available for the Mac or Linux. It's unfortunately, it's not available for Windows yet. Somebody's
yeah.
going to port it. That's how I do the cut and paste, and you can put in music.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, sometimes I use iMovie in Mac.
In Mac, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because that's quick and easy. There's a lot of transitions that are already pre-done
right.
for you.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of, you know, music is already there. You can add what's in iTunes.
Oh, okay.
So you can add songs real easy, and it's just that one. Just it's a lot more user friendly and just, you know, quicker to edit and stuff like that. But I like to use both just to learn it.
I guess equivalent to like Movie Maker and for Windows or something. I think it is a little bit better, but you can actually, I guess, it got a lot more features as far as adding your iTunes stuff to it, which
correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's
what I use. Unfortunately, I haven't found a good Windows that doesn't cost a lot of money.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Programs
yes.
out there that are great, but
yeah.
they cost, you know, $300 or $400.
Yeah. Exactly.
And again, I try to be frugal. We're a single-income family. My wife stays home and homeschools both our boys.
Oh, okay. Oh.
And they're 16 and 12, so
okay.
It's a pretty big job.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
yeah.
I'm sure.
And Mama doesn't give me any money. I have to have fix computers on the side for PPG.
Oh, that's great. Well, I saw your computer project, too, man. Fly high or fun. That's like... You are into a lot of stuff, man, a lot of projects, which is great. I guess it just keeps your mind going
I build wood tables and you know, I anything, I'm always busy, let's put it that way.
Oh, it's got to be a love.
I'm not flying, I am doing something with metal, I'm working on cars, I'm building, you know, something out mm-hmm. of wood, you know, whatever it be, Unfortunately, that's kind of why the Skybolt hasn't really kind of got finished. It's because I have so many other little projects
going
that
on.
I want to do first
yeah.
that kind of keeps getting pushed back. But again, because I have a flying machine right now that works, I just haven't put a lot of time in it. But winter's coming back on, and you know, up here in Colorado, with altitude and cold, it can get really cold. You know, flying around in the
mm-hmm.
winter, so I don't do that too often. But
yeah.
my wife did make me, I will say this, she made me buy heated gloves, which I tried last weekend.
Loving it.
It was 32 degrees when I arrived on site, and I put it on, I tried it on the mm-hmm. highest setting, and of course, within 5 minutes, my hands were sweating.
Which gloves did you get? Remember, let me ask
that. I got the Gerbing.
Gerbing, okay.
Heated gloves, yeah. The battery pack camo ones, I bought them off eBay. For $145, I think. They
yes.
were only used for just a partial season. The guy had got them for hunting and got out of it and got into dirt biking, and so I bought those. Best investment I ever made.
Yes. <That's>, you know, it's funny because there's a guy here named Jim. This is the first winter for him, and I said, gloves are everything. I mean,
yes.
If you don't have a decent setup, you might as well just not even unpack your machine. Just go home.
Right.
I
totally agree with that.
Oh.
That was one of the best investments I made, and yeah.
Gerbers,
that's all I
got to
say about that.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, totally agree. Because I remember my first winter trying, I was like, oh my God, I cannot feel my hands, you know.
Yeah.
You look for everything, and even don't even think about the cheap batteries that you can get at Walmart, would you still, no, guys, no, you're wasting
no.
your money. You know, so, wow.
Yeah, hands down. I've tried them all. I've done the hand warmers, you know, the little package
yes.
and stuff, which do work in mm-hmm. you know, above freezing. But you start getting below freezing and you get up in the wind and your hands being up above your heart and everything, it just, yeah, there's
yeah.
no way.
Forget it.
Heated gloves are the way to go.
Yeah. Well, cool, man. I love your website. Like I said, I'm glad. Thank you for coming on and talking. And I'll keep it short and everything. Guys, you have got to go check out this website. mbppg.com. A lot of information. I check it all the time, see what you're doing, see what's up next. So,
yeah, I to be honest with you, I try to update it at least once a week.
I believe it.
Especially
mm-hmm.
if I'm flying, there's always pictures and videos, and I put a little bit on my blog of what happened
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's constantly being updated. as well as you know, any new projects, or if anybody has ideas, I'm open to that too.
If
anybody's asking for help.
Okay. Are doing something. I went to your blog. I hadn't gone there in a couple of days. You're doing a GPS thing here, tracking. I have to ask how.
Yeah, I had a friend gave me a Dell Axum PDA, and I bought a GPS compact flash module for it. And because I noticed you asked Joe about that on your show.
Yes.
And that's kind of where I got the idea. I'd seen Joe's blog as well with those pictures. I'm like, hey, that's kind of cool. So
yes.
I actually started doing that as well.
With
it.
I'm going to have to ask you more about that someday, man.
Sure, what do you want to know?
You said a Dell Axum PDA. Now, I asked Joe, he said he just had a Garmin. I mean, we didn't get totally in detail with it, but I know he said he had a Garmin with the map source, I guess, and
right.
That hooked to Google. Now, that Dell Axum PDA with the GPS tuner software track along the flight. I'm sorry, I was just trying to read what you're saying. It's funny, I went on your website, on your blog the other day, and was just kind of skimming through it and seeing, I just now was seeing that. So, what?
Yeah.
This is an option in Google Earth. I guess I haven't really played a lot with Google Earth. Now, I know there's a lot of things you can do with it, like if you're looking for another location to fly, possibly, if you're not sure about it, but being able to do this GPS part is really cool. I mean, what's the steps that you ended up doing to get this?
First of all, the reason why I like the Axum, let me just kind of go into that first, is because you can have storage SD cards and compact flash cards for storage as well as the onboard memory. But the other things that it does, it runs, this particular one runs Pocket PC 2003.
Okay.
And so it has a web browser and all that stuff built into it. But it also has a music player, you know, it's Windows Music Player 9, and so you can play, you know, music.
Okay.
As well as use other features. So that's one reason why I got it. Joe has to have a separate, you know, GPS, he's got his Garmin, and then he's got a separate MP3 player that
right.
he plays music while he listens to while he flies. Well, this one, I can plug this into my comm box that I built and have the GPS all in one unit, as well as, you know, I could use it as a phone if there's wireless access, or if I bought a special card, I could get, you know, internet access from remote. It's kind of pricey for that service, so I haven't chose to go with that option.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's kind of one of those all-in-one things, like the iPhone, where you have your MP3 player, your GPS, and everything else.
Right.
That all in one box, and it's got a nice size screen, so that when you're flying, you can actually see it. That's actually one of my next projects, is building a flight deck for it. So that'll be coming up. I actually bought a used camera, or not a used, but a marked down camera case at Target to make a flight deck out of to keep stuff in my camera and camera and other things as well, and then have a flight deck so I can just flip open the lid and have my GPS there, flick on the music player, start playing music while I'm flying, and you know, use that. So that's one reason why I got the PDA. And again, it was given to me free. It's kind of a little bit of an older model,
but it's not that experienced. I mean, not that expensive.
Yeah.
If I'm looking at this correctly, go ahead. I just googled it and was trying to see what the price was on them. They're not very expensive.
Hmm. Yeah, this is the X5, so there's newer ones like the X51.
51.
And 50. Those
mm-hmm.
are the newer versions that are still priced. They're around approximately $150. This one, like I say, was given to me. I saw one on eBay for $15 the other day.
Yeah, yeah.
With the cradle in it. Yeah, so these are relatively priced pretty decent. The GPS module was a little bit pricey. It was $65.
Okay.
But I wanted to get a good one. I was looking for a specific chipset, and again, this was experience going back to rocketry. You want to get the Surf 3 chipset, not the Surf 2.
Okay.
The Surf 3 chipset actually can handle up to 20 satellites at one time, and it acquires those satellites much faster than the Surf 2 chipset. And so the 3D rendering of where you're at for altitude and stuff, the resolution is much better.
Much better. Yeah, I'm writing all this down.
Yeah, so, you know, that's why you record it, right?
That's right. You know, exactly.
So, but anyway, most GPSs, at least the modern ones today, can record to a what they call a GPX file.
Right.
Okay. So those GPX files can get inputted right into Google Earth. So you you do you open up Google Earth, and then you do open, and you can either open up, I believe it's K, I always get this backwards, it's either KML or KLM.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's KML files. And those are files that I can actually log on Google Earth and track where I want to go from, like, my local flying field,
which really?
Is an ultralight field close
uh-huh.
to my house, and say, like, we've got an abandoned Titan missile silo site that's 8 miles away. That was my first cross-country
oh,
trip
cool.
in my thing, so I want to redo that, but in my website. But
yeah.
anyway, to, you know, I can track that and put those waypoints. Actually, I can load them from Google Earth into my PDA, and then I have an actual, you know, waypoint set up already there.
Oh, wow.
And then I can also record that flight as a GPX file and then export it back out to Google Earth, and it will tell you all that information, you know, how far, you know, how high you were,
yeah.
where you were at, and it'll do all these points, and it's all set up in the PDA, how many points, you know, like once every 30 seconds, once every 10 seconds, whatever it is, whatever
yeah.
you want to set it up at. And yeah, so it just takes little snapshots of time of where you're at, how fast you're going, and all that, and you can just upload that to Google Earth and show your track. And so
that's too cool.
Past weekend. Yeah.
That is too
and
cool.
And it's just that easy. I mean, most GPSs will do this for you. You just got to export the GPX file back to Google Earth.
Back to Google Earth. Okay. I love the Dell. That when you say it has MP3s, and that is all in one.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, basically, just a little mini Windows operating system.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's got like a spreadsheet. Program, an Excel spreadsheet, a Word document, so you can look at documents. You
yeah.
can. I've looked at my website on it. It looks kind of funny on a small screen, but it's all there. It's
oh.
very interesting.
Then you said you had to read here's GPS tuner software to track
yeah,
the log.
Yeah, that was the software that I chose. There's actually several different software vendors out there that make GPS software for PDAs.
Okay. All right.
And this particular one, this was the last version of version 5, and I happened to get it on sale for $15.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it has 31 different parameters, or 32, I believe, like, you know, altitude. It's got the regular altitude, you know, speed, heading, and all that stuff, and it shows those in various formats, as well as compasses and
wow.
stuff like that. But then it has other things like, you know, percentage of altitude change, altitude rate, so it gives you climb rate, you know,
oh,
decline rate. It's almost like having a Vario.
Vario, yeah.
Yeah, and it's not quite as fast, and it doesn't do the beeping like, you know, like
right.
here, but you can still sit there and look at the screen, and you can see whether you're going up or down. You can see how fast you're moving across the ground, in the air. It gives you all those parameters within the software, and that's one reason why I chose it, because it had a lot, but there's several. And then, of course, you can, again, going back to Google Earth, you can upload Google Maps, Google Earth, Expedia, all different kinds of mapping software online. You can actually upload maps into this, so you can actually watch the ground track, whether you have the map, whether
mm-hmm.
you have a satellite view, or whatever. You know, and it's all based on how much memory you have on board. I bought a 2 gig flash drive for this.
Yeah.
SD card.
SD card. Yeah.
And so you can load up several maps, and it'll map out where you're flying, why you're flying,
sweet.
And you can actually see it. Yeah, right in front of you.
Okay.
Look, I'm flying over that house, and there it is.
There it is. Oh, man, that is too cool. I'm sitting there going,
yeah.
Oh, I like that setup. That is a nice setup. Oh. Well, cool, man. Daggone it. I'm going to talk to you again. I'm sure, man. Guys, you definitely got to go check out Mike's website. It's excellent. Love it. It's a do-it-yourself a little bit of everything. And Mike, like I said, man, thanks for coming on, and I'm sure I'll have you on again if you don't mind coming on again if I have some questions.
Oh, no.
Or
no,
or just
all.
Following what you do. It's like, man, this is cool. Like I said, I check it every once in a while to see what you've done, you know, new, and like you said, it's always updated. That's what the cool thing is. It's like, okay, he went flying again, you know. And it's funny, some people, like, when they it's not, I don't know, it's not like a, what am I trying to say? It's cool to find information in the sport because, like I said, I've been at 2 years, and most guys are looking for information, seeing what people do, and they love to hear people talk about it and love to find information like this. So
right,
that's
right.
Why I wanted to get you on, man.
And oh, don't get me wrong. I ask lots of questions. I talk with a lot of people, and yeah, everybody I've met in this sport has just been absolutely gracious and,
yes.
and you know, very giving of their time and you know, certainly more than giving for, you know, hey, what can I help you with?
Mm-hmm.
That's why I fly with the guys down this place,
yeah.
because they're just like that. They're great. They're a great bunch of guys.
Great bunch,
and
yeah.
Even the local guys up north here that Joe and I fly with, you know, like he said, they're a little bit looser. We tend not to get together as much, but when we do, we have a blast.
Blast, yeah, that's excellent.
It's just,
man.
It's a lot of fun, you know, and I just love. I'm kind of like Joe. I tend to fly by myself sometimes, but
yeah.
I will make the trip to fly with other guys just because.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a lot of fun. Just to, even if you're just putzing around
Puzzle?
The field,
right.
Or if you're going on a cross country.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly right. Yes.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mike, for coming on. I greatly appreciate it. Like I said, I'll talk to you again. And guys, make sure you go out and see mbppg.com. And great website, man. Great website.
Thanks. Well, I appreciate you having me on, and definitely look forward to coming on in the future.
Great. All right.
mbppg.com. Go check it out. Mike Bennett. First of all, I'd like to thank him for coming on, and I will definitely have Mike on again. Mike's one of those guys that just, man, just you want to just pick his mind on some of the stuff that he's actually he's doing, and I will definitely keep up with the stuff that he's actually doing, and the just his website. Really cool. Just really cool. Definitely. Hopefully you guys are checking it out. One of the things you heard us at the end, we talked about the PDA GPS, Dale Axum PDA. Like I said, several weeks ago, I talked to Mike, and within that time, I got my Dale Axum X5 PDA. eBay. You can find him. I'll tell you what, just ask some people that you work with around there or friends and see if they have any of the old Dale PDAs. There are plenty of them out there. I got the PDA off of eBay. I got the extended battery off of Amazon, and I got the GPS receiver that he also talks about off of Amazon. So the Chip 3 set that he talks about, and wow, I'll tell you, when I first got it, I was kind of like, oh man, because getting the software, trying to figure out the software, and you have to calibrate and add. Basically, what you do is you're basically, like I said, there's different mapping programs out there that you can get, you know, a satellite view, street view. Of course, I went to Google, which I'm sure a lot of you guys work with Google, and took a picture or a JPEG and put it in the GPS tuner software where I marked my LZ that I go to all the time, and I put it in the software, which you have to do. This is not like your normal GPS that you would buy in a store where it has all these maps and stuff already installed. You actually have to make your own maps, which is really, I know you think, oh well, that sucks, or that ain't no good, but I tell you what, it is really cool to be able to go and you know the area that you're going to fly in. Like, I fly in southern Indiana, and I got my location, my LZ marked in the Google Earth. You know, you can put that little, looks like a little stick pin. So I got the LZ right there, and it's like, wow, okay, there's an LZ. And so I got a wide view, probably about a 10-mile radius view of basically where I fly at. And so I put it in the software, and you have to calibrate the locations, and you can actually get the longitude and latitude stuff off of Google Map when you take and put at a spot or whatever, or you can do it with the GPS actually running on the PDA, and blam. Well, at first I was like, oh, what good is this? Because basically I was doing it around the house here, you know. Wow, whoop-de-doo, this is you know, that, like, okay. Well, I finally got a chance to take it up with me last week, and also today. Wow. Like he says, you're going over house, there's the house. It is the coolest thing. And the information that this GPS tuner software has is unbelievable. I'm not going to go into it right, all of the information right now, because I think what I'm going to do is actually do a host, you know, like a sit down and kind of get my stuff together so I could actually get really in detail and involved in on this Axiom 5 PDA. So it is really, really cool to be able to just map your own, you know, put your own maps in there, you know, which are, you know, you have a Garmin. I have a Garmin, oh, what's the number on the thing? I can't remember. A Garmin Map 76S, which it also you can hook up to a computer and get the GPX files and throw it into Google Earth, and it'll show your route. Well, this GPS tuner stuff does the same thing. And it is to it also graphs and shows you all the different points of, you know, where your speed and how high you were. And wow, I mean, really, it's almost as wow. I don't know how I'm going to be. I'm probably end up having to take a picture or screen picture or something like that and put it on the website so you can see what I'm talking about. So, but I'm gonna go into more detail about my experience with this Dell Axiom X5, and I'll call Mike and we'll both kind of talk about it, and I'll probably pick his brain more on about some of the stuff that I haven't even found out yet about this PDA and a GPS tuner. And actually, it's just a software. The software, the GPS tuner software, which is, like Mike said, he got it for $15. I ended up getting it for like $13, or it was on sale too. I called even more on sale, and it was. And I said, if you go to Mike's website, you'll see the picture of the PDA. Go to mbppg.com, and you will see the Axiom PDA that I'm talking about, or the Dell Axiom X5 PDA. He's got a nice picture of it on his website. It's in the blog area, I think is where it is. Let me look and see. And you will see what we're talking about. It's just a, you know, which, like I said, there's a lot of them out there now. You can find a lot of these PDAs out there because really nobody's using them anymore. And no, I tell you what, it's under projects, and you'll see PDA, GPS, MP3 player, and the picture of the Dell Axiom comes up, and that's the one that we have, and it's really cool. So, and he has a couple links here. Let's see, he has a link. Yo, I'll tell you what, he put a link to the GPS tuner software, and you get on that, you click on that, and you see all the information that this software actually offers. Now, like I said, you have to put your own maps in there. That's the only thing. I mean, some of you guys are like, I don't want to do that. I just want to plug and go. But man, I think it's really cool to be able to put Google Maps in there. And there, you know, I went over this. There it was. Blam. Right on it. So, and of course, I'm also playing with the GPX files and I'll put them in Google Earth too. So, but anyway, I'm going to stop there because, I'm going to get more in-depth with this PDA, try to learn some more stuff, and I think it's something that you might want to try. You can go to eBay, go to Craigslist. I'll tell you what, no, stay away from Craigslist because those guys, most of the guys on there, they want a mint for them, and it's you can go to eBay and get them for as cheap as $20. So I bought mine for, like I said, for $40, I think it was, plus shipping and handling, then shipping was for free. So there's several people in there that are selling them. So anyway, we'll stop there for now. Thank you for listening. Will Jones talking PPG Radio. Any comments, questions, thoughts, ideas, give me a call. Once again, let me thank Michelle, Danielle, and also Mike Bennett for coming on. And that's all I got for now. Thank you for listening. Will Jones, talking PPG Radio.